Good morning to the Warriors Way and UCAN Studios. I am your host, Isaac, and I am here with...
Denise Alec.
Denise Alec. Say hello, Denise.
Hi.
All right, and she is from Samadhi Yoga, and we're going to get to her in a second. If this is your first time to Spiritual Warfare Unit, if you check out our website, spiritualwarfareunit.com, we have 8 or 10 of our community outreach people. If you know someone is struggling, needs food or coffee or water or baby food or... anything that they're struggling with, you tell them go to spiritualwarfareunit.com, click on struggling. They go down there, make a phone call, and you can be the person that helps them. So help me, help you, help them. All right. Good morning, and how are we doing, Denise?
Fantastic.
All right, so you're a place called Samadhi Yoga Center, and your website is samadhiyogacenter.com, right?
Correct.
All right, let me spell that real quick. So if you guys are watching, it's S-A-M-A. D-H-I, SamadhiYogaCenter.com, if you want to check out our website while we're talking. Okay. And so real quick, what's that name from, Samadhi?
Well, it comes from the Ashtanga practice, which is just a totally different style of practice, which is actually what I first started, that's what I learned.
All right. What makes it totally different from other yoga?
It's a little bit more intense. Yeah. It's always done in a hot, heated room.
Ugh.
So there's like 96 postures. You always do them in a specific sequence.
Uh-huh.
Always done in the same order.
In a heated room.
In a heated room. A hot room. Yes.
So a heavy set person like myself.
No, you'd be great. You would just sweat a lot.
Yeah, I do that now. That's what being chubby does.
It's hot. It's hot outside. It's hot in our room. There's no difference.
So what's the temperature of the room?
It could be 100.
Holy smokes.
Like it's going to be today.
Yeah, no, right. Okay, so I just want to get a brief summary out of there. And she does her yoga thing, and we're going to get into that later. We'll finish with that last. But I kind of want to know about you. So where are you from? Where were you born at? What area?
I was born in Flint.
Oh, okay.
Raised in Clio. Like, I had a home, grew up in Clio.
All right.
Went to Clio schools my whole life, graduated there.
Yeah, two parents, single parent?
Yeah, both parents.
Yeah.
Both parents, two brothers, one older, one
ooh,
younger.
All right. So where are you in the pecking order?
I was right in the middle.
Oh, so you're the person.
The favorite.
Well, being the only girl, probably, right?
Right.
So were you like the person that solved the problems between them?
No.
No, you're the one that caused the problems between them.
They would say that.
Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah.
Being the only girl, probably got most of
it
the attention.
It was hard, but I like doing, like, the boy stuff, you know, like.
Oh, you were a tomboy.
Yeah. Like,
okay.
I always liked working out, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Being outside.
All right. Did you do hunting and stuff, or just?
No, I'm not into killing things.
All right. Well, being in the Clio area, that's kind of rural area. All right.
Yeah.
So you graduate high school. That was when?
77.
77. Okay. And then anything in your past from like elementary school or middle school or high school that was like impacting on who you are as a person? Like that you went through, were you like a cool kid? Were you a nerd? Were you just...
No, I wasn't. I don't think I was a cool kid at all. Like I just had like a handful of people that I was friends with and...
Mm-hmm.
I just,
did you do like sports or you do band or anything?
I did band.
Okay.
Did track.
Okay.
A little bit of track. Wasn't really good at it per se, like you would think of like a track person.
Yeah.
But I liked it.
Something to do?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was physical.
Yeah,
and I always liked, if anything can be physical, I would like to do that.
Yeah, yeah. All right. She told me ahead of time she's a note person. So as she takes notes, we'll get that down. I'm more of an off the cuff person.
Yeah. Well, things will come to my brain.
Yeah.
Like I want to say, I'll say that.
But. Yeah. No. Don't worry about it. You do not have to make it make sense. Believe me. All right. So that's cool. So you just kind of meander, fit in, had your group of people, and all right. So did you go to college anywhere?
I did not.
All right. So right after high school, this is 77.
Yeah.
So 77, 78. What happened?
I started waiting tables.
Really?
I was a bar or restaurant? Well, I did a lot. I did a lot of both. So
okay.
I started out just at a restaurant, mm-hmm. and I I just loved being with people.
Okay.
And I love serving people. And I could work a day shift at a restaurant and then work across the street at, you know, it was a, like a country club bar.
Okay.
And I could bartend and...
So you're a worker.
I loved it. Yeah. When Kmart was used to be like, was at Pearson Road. Mm-hmm. I actually did three jobs. I do two waitress jobs and I go work at Kmart if I had off time.
Really? So did you like move out of your house right out?
Yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
I had, got an apartment with a friend and I just went to work.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Three jobs. Wow.
Yeah. I loved that.
All right. What's the dating scene at this time?
At one of the restaurants, that's where I met my first husband, but no longer husband.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So how old when you guys met?
Kids. Oh, probably 20.
Okay, so 21. It's right in this time period. So you're working, you're going out.
Yep.
All right. And so you met your husband at 20, so that's 2 years. Anything in that two-year time period that kind of happened that was?
I just worked.
Just worked.
I'm just.
I've always been a two-job person myself, so like I feel you. All right. So then you meet your husband, your first husband, and where did you meet him at?
He was at the restaurant that I worked at.
What did he do?
He owned it and ran the place. And
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So he owned it and ran a place, and you guys dated for how long?
Yeah. I don't know, maybe a year or so. Got married, had a couple kids.
Okay. And how long was that process?
Like 11 years.
So from 20 to 31.
Probably that.
So from 78 to 89?
Yep.
All right, so you just...
Maybe around that, yeah, 90.
So did you just stay home?
No, I still worked. I continued to work.
I was going to say, because I can't see you staying home. That's probably driving
slow. Yeah, no, yeah, I continued to work.
Okay. So you had boys, girls?
I had a son. My first child was John. Mm-hmm. And then my second, Nicole, was my daughter.
All right, so boy and a girl. Hey, yeah. All right, first mm-hmm. two shots.
Yeah.
All right, so in this time period, you're married. Now, when did the divorce happen?
Probably around 89, 90.
89, 90?
Yeah.
All right. So how old are the kids at this time?
12, maybe. The oldest was probably 12, 13 during that time.
And what's the year difference between them?
Six. There's a six-year difference between my kids.
So it was 12 and six, basically? Yeah. Older brother and younger sister. Mm. All right. So you move out. Are you still in the Clio area at this point?
Nope. I'm in Flushing. I went from Clio to Flushing, and I've been in Flushing since 84.
Which is a really nice,
same house,
sweet little town,
mm-hmm.
beautiful place.
Love it.
Do they still have that movie downtown or whatever?
I think they do.
In the summertime?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they do.
Like the whole town dead ends into this area, and you guys, it's really cool. Yeah. It's like very happy days.
Yeah.
Like very laid back, the bowling and the
parks.
Yeah.
And walk
very,
downtown.
Very slow life. Very cool.
Right.
All right. So anything in that like 10-year time that you're dealing with that your personality was set in a certain way or situations happened during that time that you find relevant, you know, to what we're doing now? Is that just
I think that was just part of my growth and trying to find out who I was and what did I really want to do with my life.
So you're starting to ask the big questions.
Yeah.
Why am I here and what
exactly.
is my purpose and what am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is 1990 then, right?
Yep.
Okay, so you're on your own. What did you do for work at that point?
I still waited tables, and I waited tables until probably 2001, because that started to lead up to when I opened up my yoga studio. So I'll back up.
I was going to say you skipped a bunch.
Yeah, so I went to this retreat in Watervliet.
When was this?
Probably the late 80s, early 90s.
Okay, so yoga was something you got into 90s, when you just got married then. So
when I got married, so when I got divorced, then I'm working at the Holiday Inn and I'm a bartender, and then this guy comes in who is now my husband.
Yeah.
And he wants to go out and is like, no, I don't want to go out with anybody.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, let's just go out afterwards. He's like, no, I really don't want to. Like,
yeah.
Finally, I did, but I told him the only way I'd go out with you is if we could go play racquetball. And it was at the YWCA downtown.
So doing something physical.
Yeah, because I wanted to beat him at something. It's just, that's all. I wanted to win.
So you're very competitive.
Yes.
All right. Outstanding.
But I'll tell everybody in yoga, it's not competitive.
So. But it is.
100%. 100%. With myself. Yeah. With
see, you know, my biggest fear of yoga, I got to be honest, just to interrupt you just for a second, is like I'm going to end up getting gassy. And then there's going to be all these people around that like know how to do it correctly. And I'm not going to be able to touch my toe. And I know I can't because I've seen me do it.
Right.
And then everyone's going to laugh you right out of the joint. Right.
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 It happens.
It's hot.
And it's hot.
Yeah. And I just don't want anything with that part.
It's good, but it happens all the time.
Oh, all the time.
A lot.
Like I could get a lot of. I could get a lot of information out of people. Listen, I will release this video of you flatulating during yoga.
I tell you, it happens all the time. So if you've ever been in a yoga class, so like at the very end, like you lay what we call a shavasana, right? So you lay there for like 5 minutes.
Mm-mm.
It happens more often than not. Like sometimes people fall asleep and they'll start snoring. You just kind of
go fall asleep in the class.
At the end, like in Shavasana, sometimes, and people snore a little bit.
We're gonna get into that part.
If we're gonna get back to the flatulence part, like it just happens.
Yeah, no,
and people will just start laughing uncontrollably, and I have to be a professional and hold it together.
Yeah, I couldn't do your job because I would just be laughing hilariously, and I'd be like, somebody had tuna today, apparently. All right, so you meet your husband.
Yeah,
you're. Who will be your second husband?
This is
1992,
we get married.
Your first date is, I'm going to whoop this dude at racquetball. Did you win?
100% I did. I've beat him at everything since we've been married.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm. And so, he doesn't want to do anything with me.
I don't think he would want to because you make him feel bad.
He says, I have to make it a competition.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't think I do, but like... One time, like, he said, let's just go for a bike ride, right?
Yeah.
So we're going for a bike ride. Well, then I realized, like, he's way behind me.
Mm-hmm.
And he's panting. It's like, just call 911. Like, and I'm laughing, but he's in his slippers. Like, you can't. I can't.
You
ride.
Told him to call 911?
No, he was saying, just call 911. But I looked, I was like, you're in your slippers. Who goes for a bike ride in your slippers? So...
Yeah. I really like this guy already.
Yeah, he's...
Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't ride bikes with me anymore.
Yeah, because
either.
You just make just him feel go. Terrible about himself. This poor fella.
Yeah.
All he's trying to do is hang out with his wife
right.
and have quality time.
Yeah.
And you're just, I beat you again.
Exactly.
And I beat you again.
Right.
Let's go get some ice cream. And then
he'll say, let's go get ice cream.
Yeah,
like, well,
What was the point of doing all the
exactly.
exercise?
Yeah, don't.
And the whole point of the exercise, so you can eat ice cream, but you're not getting
but
that part because...
You can't exercise. You can't go into a yoga class and work out for an hour and think you can go eat a whole apple pie.
I wouldn't ever want to eat a whole apple pie.
Well, you can't do that. No.
That is good to know.
Yeah.
On that note, this is a perfect spot to take a break. If you've not gone to SamadhiYogaCenter.com, check that out on the break. If you know someone who's struggling, hit Spiritual Warfare Unit. .com. Make sure you like, share, and subscribe to the show. We'll be right back. Taking a quick break from our podcast, I wanted to let you know about our life application program that we have for churches and nonprofits in the area that are trying to find programming that they can use in case the corona shuts you down and you're not able to get in. You go to spiritualwarfareunit.com. Click on our episodes, and you can check out our programs for as little as $29.99 a month to make sure that we're still getting the word out to those people that need it. Now, back to the program.
Really, I told you, these things just take care of themselves.
It'll come out, but I got
to... All right. Welcome back to the Warriors Wear. Warrior this week, it's Nisa. And during the break, I'm already in defense of her husband and the deep competition that she has with herself, which is great. And so she does yoga at SamadhiYogaCenter.com. It's hot yoga. And so we're getting her story into why this happened. All right. And we'll get to that in a little bit. So you're going out with this guy. You're dating. And does he do yoga?
No.
Okay. So how did...
He just got back from the war from Afghanistan.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's a military guy.
Military, yeah.
Outstanding. All right. I'm already still feeling bad for this guy. I already know I'm going to like this guy.
Yeah.
All right. So you're dating, and then how did the yoga thing, like, come into existence? Like, how did that happen?
Okay. So then I go to this retreat, and then in the morning, they had they said everybody had to go do yoga. I'd never heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
Never was had experienced it. 8 o'clock in the morning, we had to go to this building. It was outside. It was pretty large. One whole side of the building had a big screen mm-hmm. on it, so you could actually like look out into the woods, and you could see deer out there. And it was actually called Grace in the Woods. Mm-hmm. And we all did yoga. I couldn't tell you what we did. I just knew, like, wow, like, I really like this.
Oh, okay. It,
yeah, like, a lot. So I knew, like, when I got back, I've got to find a place to go practice. So okay. I found a place in Grand Blanc, started practicing. That's where the Ashtanga practice came in, because that's all I knew. Like, I didn't start out with something that was really easy, sit down, fold forward, stretch. It was a hot class. So that's how I started.
So the first one you did was hot. So that was just your...
That wasn't. The one in Grace in the Woods wasn't hot.
Oh, okay.
I remember it wasn't anything like this, but that's what this other place offered.
Okay.
So that's what I started to learn. And then...
you just fell in love with it then?
Absolutely loved it.
All right. So what is so great about it? Like, what is the thing that this is why you do yoga?
For me, when I first started, it was physical.
Okay. So it's still just the body and...
Yep.
Control of the body or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, you learn to self-control.
All right. So self-control and taking care of your body and your
right.
and your life. All right. So this is, you said this was the early 90s. This is?
Well, this was, well, probably in the 90s, somewhere in the 90s, maybe the middle 90s. And then I ended up finding another teacher that I just really gravitated towards.
Now, what would be the difference between the teachers, just so, like, because I don't know anything about this.
Right. Well, it's just their style and how they teach the class.
How they present?
Yes.
Present it?
Okay. Yes.
All right. So you moved to a different teacher.
Mm-hmm. In the Detroit area.
So
you Birmingham.
Went from Grand Blanc. Man, that's like an hour.
All the way.
Wow.
A good hour.
So you went from driving 20 minutes an hour just because the approach was that much better? Wow. Okay. And how did you like hear about this person or whatever?
This, his name was Johnny, and mm-hmm. he came to a workshop in Grand Blanc. He was part of a workshop that he came.
Okay.
And he did some hands-on adjustments. I remember I was in a headstand and he adjusted me in it. And I just thought, wow, nobody's ever really adjusted me. Like, wow, now my practice can change.
Wow.
And so I found out where he was at, practiced down there at his studio for quite a few years, did his teacher training program in 2000, completed that. He wanted me to come down and teach for him.
Now, how long did that take, that teacher?
That was 3 months.
Okay.
3 months of driving down there. But
okay.
I still drive down there. You know, he doesn't have that studio right there anymore, but I have another studio in Birmingham at Blue that I like to go practice at very frequently.
All right, so you're going to Detroit, and you're hanging out with this guru. Is that the right word? I don't know.
I don't know.
Teacher. Let's say teacher.
All right. He was a good teacher.
Of a hot yoga.
Yeah.
And so it's 2001, and you decide what? The classes.
Yeah, between like 97 and when I actually opened up my own studio.
Yeah.
I started teaching actually out of my home.
Yeah.
And then I had people say, why don't you teach at my building?
Yeah.
I've got space in here. And then I was paying rent in there.
Yeah,
which
is
fine. And so you teach out there for a little bit. And I was like, nah, it's just not private. Like, it's not my own space. So then I would teach out of, people would come in, wow. Can you teach me in your home? Like, yeah. So I would have people come to my home. My kids would go into their bedroom. They'd do their homework for like an hour and a half. I'd push furniture out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd have people come in. I would just teach yoga. And then...
Like how many people?
I'd put like 6 or 7 people.
Man, that's packed.
It's a good-sized living room.
Still.
But I could put people in there. Yeah, throw some mats
down. So you had hot yoga in your
living room? Well, you can only get your living room so
I was gonna,
hot.
And now you won't want that smell.
Right.
Because now I'm thinking of the gas.
Yeah, no.
I wouldn't want that either.
No.
Okay.
No.
Whew. All right.
Yeah.
No, nothing personal, just getting it in the mind frame. All right. So, and you're like, how old at this time? Like 30s?
Yeah.
All right. And so, what was the decision? Like, what was the, man, I can do this? Like, was it just a progression of steps that made a logical step to the next step?
To open up my own
studio?
To studio?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you. So I was teaching at this in this one building, mm-hmm. and it was like a retail building, but there was a room that we could actually put quite a few people in, maybe like 20 people and stuff. But she would have like, you know, you could still buy the clothing in there and books and jewelry, but kind of room for us to come in. But yeah. they had a cat.
Okay.
I'm not opposed to cats, but the litter box was in the room that everybody practiced. And after a while, I was like, you know what? I'm not digging this anymore.
Yeah, because
like,
when you're heating the room up.
We can't have a cat in a litter box and practice down dog all at the same time. I got to go. So I...
So you're a dog person.
Well, I'm a horse person because I have a horse.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I like cats too. It's just... I wasn't fond of having the litter box.
Just because you like cats doesn't mean you like cat feces.
No, not while you're practicing.
Yeah, downward dog.
Downward facing.
Absolutely.
Dog. Yeah.
All right. So so that is the decision. It was a cat litter box, and you're like, that's it.
Exactly. Yes. So I did. I opened up a little bitty space downtown Flushing, literally maxed out at 13 mats.
Wow.
I couldn't put any more people in there. And so I was there for a year. And
how many classes were you doing, like a day?
Oh, at that time, probably two a day.
Two a day?
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, okay. I was just getting started. Yeah. I didn't know what I was doing.
Okay.
I didn't know how to run a business. Okay. I had not a clue.
And you just decided to do this because it was simpler and there was no cat?
Yeah, it was clean, fresh space. And I just knew I wanted to teach something that I loved to do, something that was... a physical practice, but I also knew that people were so stressed out.
Yeah.
And there's just a lot of chaos.
So it was your way of getting some purpose and helping people.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. That makes all the sense in the world. So you're in this little spot, and then what happens next?
And I run out of space, and so I end up moving not very far from there. Still, I'm in Flushing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I could probably put 30 people. Maybe in that space.
And how soon did that fill up?
Well, I was there for 11 years.
Wow.
But I felt like it was just kind of stagnant at some point. Like, I need to make a change.
All right.
So that's when I moved over to Linden Road, and I was right next to Sagano, so it was a bigger space.
Okay.
And then that's when the business really started to grow.
Hold on a second. Wait a minute. Yeah. There's too much jumping. All right, yeah. So you're in Flushing for 11 years, you said. And did you pack it? You said 30 people. Were you packing that?
Yeah, I could. Yeah, it was pretty full.
Okay. And then during that time period, like, what's happening with your private life? What's going on there? So you're married
now? I'm married. Married, got kids. My kids are in high school. Kids graduated.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so they're off, and you're doing this.
Yep.
And your husband's doing what?
Okay, so my husband then at that time... was going to school down in Troy at the ITT Tech Institute to get his license because he repaired helicopters.
Wow.
In the air, you know, in his profession.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So he wanted to get his license and then ended up, that's what he does. He works on
helicopters,
aircraft, any kind of aircraft. But then that job just took him out of state
because
that's not here.
Yeah. No, he's an aircraft mechanic.
Yeah. Wow. Well, they would design. Interior of aircraft, special aircraft, like planes that would come in from Dubai or...
Wow.
Yeah.
Like specialty items.
Yeah.
Wow, he's one of them high-end guys.
China. Yeah, they would just do the interiors, you know.
China.
Yeah, they would... Yeah, they look like homes inside these aircraft.
No kidding.
Yeah, so he did that for like 18 years, and then it's like, okay, that's enough. You know, we always travel back and forth.
All right, let's not get the timeline separated. So we're here. So you're like in your... So... That 11-year time period, so that started in the 2000, 2001 to, so, like, 2010.
Yep, 2011, I moved over.
Okay, so you said stagnant. What did that mean?
I just didn't feel like we were going anywhere. It was like...
You're maintaining, but you're not growing.
Correct.
And you wanted to grow.
Absolutely.
All right. In this time period, did you learn how to, like, run a business? Did you take classes? Like, what was that process?
Well, it was... I learned as I went along. So when I first opened up the studio, I was still waiting tables.
Wow.
Because
That's how you made your money.
I didn't borrow a dime from anybody to open my business. I didn't borrow a dime from the bank.
So you were a really good saver.
Very good.
Wow.
So I worked and I worked and I saved, and whatever I had extra went into the business. Whatever was extra goes back into the business.
Gotcha.
And that's how that grew.
All right. So...
I didn't even have a credit card machine for 5 years.
Wow.
I didn't. Everybody paid cash or check. That's how, and I only had a check bounce twice. And it was the same guy. And he was my neighbor.
So you knew where he lived.
I knew where he lived. Like, there you go. Stop bouncing checks on me.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
All right. So you're doing this. So you want the business to grow, and you know it can grow. So then you get a bigger place. Now how many? And this is 2010.
This is like, yeah, I think it was December of 2011.
Okay.
I opened.
And this puts you in your this puts you in your mid to late 40s.
Could be.
And I was going
to say,
I'm sitting there looking at this, and I'm like, wow, she looks like she's in her mid to late 40s. So, like,
I look like I'm in my.
Yeah, for
really?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely, without question. So that's why I'm like, uh oh. Now the math is like, uh oh. So everything moving forward will be mid to late 40s,
okay,
no matter
exactly.
What the time frame is.
Exactly.
All right. So how many people could you hold at this place?
So this other place, I actually maxed out at 52.
Okay.
And I had turned people away at the door. I honestly could not put them in.
And how many classes are you doing a day? Two a day? 3 days?
Now we're at like 3 a day.
Wow. And you're doing all of them?
7 days a week. No, most of them. So when you do the teacher training programs, this is when you can start to get these teachers to come in and help teach some of these classes, because you don't want to teach everything.
Yeah, right.
I don't want
to. I got to imagine three hot classes a day. You'd be gassed
it's
by this.
It's so good.
I'm not sure good's the word.
Yeah, it is.
Tired. Dehydrated. You're like Gumby. You're just so stretchy. It's unbelievable.
Well, the hotter you get, the better you stretch.
The hotter you get, the better you stretch.
Yeah.
That is such a great line. We got to use that line. The hotter you get, the better you stretch. I'm going to tell my wife that. The hotter I get, the more I stretch.
She'll like it.
She will probably like it. Oh, man. What a perfect place to take a break. If you're not gone to SamadhiYogaCenter.com, please go and check that out and see what she's talking about, the hot yoga. If you've not gone to Spiritual Warfare Unit on YouTube, like, share, and subscribe. Make sure you let your friends know how you can help people and how they can help people. And if you are struggling, you know, someone that's struggling, please go to SpiritualWarfareUnit.com, click on struggling, look at some of our friends in the area, and they can help you out for free. With that, we'll be right back.
I'm really impressed with the teachings that Isaac has been bringing to us, as this is all based from Proverbs.
I like it because it's simple, and it doesn't matter who you are. It's very easy to understand and apply to your life.
You know, it points out, you know, my bad parts, and, you know, but it's showing me how to do the good parts. And, you know, I'm trying to apply that and, you know, make a better life for myself, because I'm tired of where I've been.
It's impacted a lot of the guys as they continue to talk and ask questions after the meetings, as they speak to one another regarding the meeting and the messages and the topics that are being brought up, which are down-to-earth topics of situations and things that we live with on a day-to-day basis.
He takes the Bible and he breaks it down into simple terms and where you can understand. And like I said before, a lot of churches, even the Salvation Army, sometimes we start using these big words that people don't understand, like even saying someone got saved. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean when you say someone got saved? And it's accepting Jesus into your heart. So it's like words like that we use that people don't understand.
It's just very interesting how he points out, you know, the different things of, you know, the sin part, and then he comes back with the, you know, how to make it better, and he just points it out. It's there, you know. I didn't know all this stuff was in there, but now that he's pointing it out, it's like, wow, you know. I guess if you really dig into the Bible, you find these things.
This is a daily moral standards that we can live by, that the teachings are coming from. And honestly, we can take verse by verse as what he's done, and pretty much he's done the hard work for us and now laying it out so that we have an easier understanding.
There's some people who don't like to be in Bible classes, but this one seems to get their attention.
So much. All right, welcome back to the Warrior's Way. Our warrior this week is Denise Alex. She's just regaling some great stories, and I can't tell you. And so welcome back.
Leave that alone.
And she's from the Samadhi Yoga Center. Her website is SamadhiYogaCenter.com. It's a hot yoga. And you were just talking about how you would move to Linden Road.
Yes.
Which is a larger area, and you could hold 30.
That place, I actually maxed out at 52 people.
52 and people, that's right. Now, you had three classes a day, seven days a week.
Yes.
And out of those 21 classes, how many did you instruct?
Probably 15 of them.
Wow.
So it was a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I had some teachers would come in, but they, you know, they had other jobs.
Yeah, but you're still managing, like, the whole rest of the everything. You're doing this by yourself?
100% by myself. Wow. I didn't have a manager. I never have had a manager. I don't have a cleaning crew. I do it myself.
Okay. So you're, so this is like long hours and
24/7.
Wow.
Because then when you're not teaching, you're trying to think of something intelligent to talk about the next time that you go in and you got to teach a class and you got to put these flows together, right? So people like them.
Yeah.
Hope they like them.
So you have to come up with, man, I didn't even think about this. You have to come up with conversation pieces to talk about while people are stretching and being gassy.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's got to be a tough conversation.
And I have to
stay
focused.
And you can't make them laugh too much either.
No. Well, sometimes we do. Sometimes it's.
Yeah. Like if you got a person snoring. We're going to get to that. But
yeah. Yeah. You just kick them a little bit.
Yeah, kick them. Oh, that's the yoga.
Yeah.
Kick, nudge.
Kick him in. Namaste.
Morning.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. Dude, how tired you got to be where you pass out? All right. So this is, where are we at now? We're in the 2010s range?
Yeah. So I'm teaching a bunch of the classes and got some other teachers coming in. But, you know, I have teachers that are hairdressers and they're doing hair 7 days a week. But they love the practice too.
Okay.
And then they take the course and they can teach a class here or there.
Yeah.
So
what's the price range at this time? Like what's a cost for a class or whatever?
Okay. So I always do a 2 month unlimited. It's $89.
2 months.
$89. Unlimited. They can come in.
Wow. So they come 7 days a week, which
if
I would not.
To.
I'd be exhausted and do it twice.
Yeah.
I know I would.
Yeah.
And then I'd have to have some ice cream.
Oh my gosh.
I would.
Yeah. You could have a vegan ice cream.
I wouldn't do that.
My husband wouldn't either.
That's
he said it's not even ice cream.
I don't even know the guy and we got so much in common already.
Right.
All right. So you're doing this and that's not that bad. Of course that was 2010. So.
But it still is that.
I still
offer that package.
Now, are you in like the Flint area? Are you in Detroit area? Both?
No, I just have my studio in the Flint area.
Okay.
But I drive down there to do my practice because I like to get out of my own space to go practice. I want somebody else to tell me what to do.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. How long did you stay at that location that you're at next to Sagano's there?
I just ended up moving just in December of this year because of COVID.
Okay. So when we were talking originally, the whole reason that you wanted to do this was to help people, right?
Yes.
How did this transform from just being a business to the reasons why? Like, what was the process there? Like, how did all that happen?
So it's just meeting people that come in there.
Yeah.
And then sometimes people just share their stories. Or I always like to ask people, like, how did you hear about us?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you can advertise in newspapers. And I did that. Like, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
It's always word of mouth.
Right.
It's word of mouth, or the friend tells the friend, or we have doctors that come in.
Mm-hmm.
We have physical therapists that come in. Then they tell their patients to come in.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
That's cool.
Yeah. So people come in. It's like, you know, I enjoy everybody who comes into the studio, and I'm very grateful for everybody because it keeps the doors open. But then you get this handful of people that you can just really resonate with that come in that you just kind of click with and you stay in contact with the time.
Right. Absolutely. There's people that you know, and then there's people that you enjoy to know, right?
Exactly. There are people that can relate to your story that you know that you can help them.
All right. So the struggles that you're going, there's any of the, like, from 2010 on, was there any like major struggles that you were dealing with during that time as your yoga classes?
Yeah, so in 2008, my daughter passed away and she had a child. She had just a little baby. She had Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
how old was she?
She was 20.
Wow.
Yeah. And
what happened?
got in with the wrong group of people and just started making some really bad choices.
Yeah, so fairly normal
she
thing. So you said there was a baby.
And she had a baby, but I was still teaching class. I was still at the other location in Flushing at the time.
Okay.
And I had still a business to run.
Right. So what happened? She had the baby, which the name is?
Memphis.
Memphis. Boy or girl?
Boy. So they were with me anyway. So
okay.
We kind of always had him.
So you took him?
Yeah.
Okay.
100%.
So you're doing the business. So hold on. You're at the Flushing location, and then you're doing all this work, which you said three classes a day, 5 days a week. And then you took out a baby. Which happens to be your grandson.
Yes, but I didn't start my business when my kids were babies.
Yeah, no,
you were. They were older, yeah. So it was different doing it then.
How did that work?
It was, grace of God.
You just do it, right?
You have to do it. You have to find a way to move forward. And after she passed, I literally took off 2 weeks' work. That was it? I took off 2 weeks. And I remember specifically one day I told myself, if you don't get in back in there and if you don't start teaching, you're going to quit your business.
Wow.
And I didn't want to do that.
You knew that.
I knew 100%.
So
I went back to teaching after 2 weeks.
So those group of friends that you had in the yoga, I'm assuming those people were there for you, yeah?
Absolutely.
Man, that has to be nice.
I had a community of people that, they stayed, the business stayed open during those 2 weeks. I had other teachers at the time
who
were teaching classes for me. People still came in. I had I had some family, and I had, a great group of friends that, helped take care of Memphis during that time. And
so how did you deal with the grief process? Like, how did you get through that?
I think the first couple of years was kind of like a blur.
Because you just kept busy.
Really, I had to.
Yeah.
Because my whole mental process is you have to push through.
Yeah.
Always. You just have to keep going. And I felt like if I stopped, my ship would sink.
Right.
So.
It's probably true to that.
I did, yeah. And I think my grieving process, and everybody grieves
differently.
Yeah, but I think mine just the ugly part of it dragged out longer because my focus was on Memphis and my focus was on my studio.
So you put yourself last.
Yeah, I did.
And you finally got to yourself after a couple years.
Yeah.
God almighty.
Yeah.
Man. And that's just a dark time to go through. But then at the same time, you got this wonderful little personality.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
So it had to be it was frustrating, still this blessing.
What a blessing. Yeah. And he's 15 now.
Okay.
He
don't
just
you jumped.
15.
You
I
jumped.
Know.
So right. All right. So he's 1, 2. You're dealing with you're still dealing with the death of your daughter, but you have this her personality in him, which you get to still see and grow and help with. So what was he like as a young little kid?
He was great.
Lots of energy or relaxed or is he? Yeah, blonde hair.
Blonde,
he look like?
Long blonde hair. Long blonde hair.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he was just all energy?
All energy. All boy. Mm. All boy. Played outside, dig holes, get in the mud.
So how did you do this? Like your husband, you said, was doing like
fixing
helicopters.
He was gone. He was completely was out of state.
Where's your son at this point?
Well, my oldest son at this point, he's in Chicago, and he gets married.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
My oldest son is 40.
Wow.
I know.
Yeah, right? Yoga must work.
It works.
Yeah. Apparently, I need to do some odd yoga. All right. So you're alone with this. So how in the world did you, your friends just came in there with you and you guys just pulled it out?
Yep. I had friends and I had my aunt and, they were like.
Would you say that the yoga community is a tight community?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Because I have no idea. And so give me an example of what you're talking about so we can understand what you mean. Like you called them, you said you took 2 weeks off. Were they the ones that helped with all the stuff? Because you're by yourself. You're married, but you're by yourself.
Yeah.
You have kids, but you're by yourself.
I'm by myself.
You're doing a business, but you're by yourself.
Yeah.
Is that the way you like it?
Yeah. No. It sucks.
It does suck.
It's awful.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
it's awful, but you learn to adapt.
Yeah.
you learn to adapt and you learn to make it work. And mm-hmm. then it, you know, then it just got to a point and, like, my husband's name is Mike, like, you need to just come home.
Right.
So he's home.
So did, would you say that the yoga helped you with your depression and your stress of the situation? Like when you were able to go unload, was that part of your process?
Yeah, because there's a part of the yoga practice that always starts out that it's physical.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a part of your practice, it's a lot mental. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people that go into the studio, they come in, you know, whether they're stressed or there's depression or there's anxiety or there's drug abuse or alcoholism or physical abuse in the home, that's one space that they have to go to.
Mm-hmm.
That's a safe space. And I've always wanted to create a safe space for people to come to where nobody's being judged for why are you here.
Now, in each these people that are here for the individual, do they end up, I'm assuming they end up and come and talk to you about why they're there, right?
A lot of them do.
All right. And so do you deal with a lot of addiction-based yeah. yoga? Really?
Yeah. A lot of people come in that are in recovery.
Really? And mm-hmm. what is their reason for being there? Like,
Theirs is more mental.
Spiritual.
And trying to find, yep, and then trying to find some coping skills.
So replacing a bad habit with a good habit.
Yeah.
All right, man, that's a perfect spot to take a break. If you've not gone to SamadhiYogaCenter.com, you're not listening, got to check it out. It's hot yoga. If you've not seen Spiritual Warfare Unit, like, share, and subscribe. We will be right back.
This is a recovery day for not only for people in recovery, but for the families of those in recovery. So we're very grateful for that.
So Dwayne, this is the first year you've not actually participated in Sober Fest.
Correct.
But you're 81?
Yes, sir.
And just wanted to be out here supporting everybody,
yes,
right?
Sir.
All
yes,
right.
Sir.
Well, we really appreciate you.
It's a cool thing. I mean, it's my first time being here, so I'm very, very impressed.
Yeah.
Overwhelming, kind of.
Yeah.
I heard about it through my NA meetings, and I was excited to go for the first time and meet other people who are in recovery and working towards their goals.
All right. And how's it going?
Great. I feel great. I feel good to be back to myself again, and every day is just a new life for me. I feel like I have a second chance.
So people that are talking about breaking the rules use their fingers to speak to each other. And that's what gangs do to communicate from point A to point B. It's almost like this has been in the Bible for 2,000 years. And people feel like it's a new thing. That is unbelievable, isn't it? That things that are happening in your life today are in here from 2,000 years ago. That's very weird.
You love me too much and let me stay this way.
Hey, it's Aaron with UCAN. Just out here today at the Valley Area Agency on Aging event, Senior Power Day. It's been really cool. We haven't been in the senior world very long, and I know it always plays a part in our world. So we're here today to connect with that senior community and kind of talk about the proper use, misuse, storage, and disposal of medications, making sure that they're not only are they using them as prescribed, but also disposing them as needed. So we're also bringing a multitude of services here that I'm looking at that allow us to connect and expand on our senior care initiative. So it was twofold. Share some information with the seniors that were out here, but also make some connection with those who are servicing the senior community to be able to expand our network of our senior initiative and make some connectivity. So we've met the folks from Valley Area Agency on Aging specifically, has some cool ideas already to work with them. We'll talk to McLaren and Genesee Health Plan as far as the Medicaid sign-ups and things like that. Veterans are here. The Genesee County Services for Veterans is here. So really has some great connectivity going. Good start to our senior care. A great day here. There's a lot of people here. There's been probably two to 300 people here. We've been here since 9, so it's been a rewarding event. Most people do look at our table and say addiction and don't look, but there has been those handful that do come over to us and say specifically, hey, can you come to this event or can you come speak to us here or there? And that's kind of what we're after. We're really after the focus on how we can continually expand our reach into this community. So it's been a good day. We look forward to continuing the rest of the day, and we'll circle back again another time. Thanks again.
All right, welcome back to the Warriors Wear. Warrior this week is Denise Alec, and we always have our gem session where we get into some funny stories, and I ask our stars for some stories. So you said you had a couple of things you were thinking about.
Yeah, well, one was the competitive one, you know, with my
with husband.
Yeah,
that poor
riding
fella.
A bike in his slippers, because nobody does that ever.
Wow.
And in Flushing, everybody can see everything, so that's awful. But no, so my one story is, when you put a class together, you put a class together in a way that it sequences. You know, posture should flow. So it feels right when you're starting to open joints, stretch your muscles, start stretching ligaments, you know, detox organs, spinal twists, whatnot. So,
wow.
And all of that, you know, you have to remember that.
Yeah.
That sequence for an hour. So whatever you do on one side, you repeat it on the opposite side and you teach it.
Okay.
So, but where I come from on my end is I'm really bad with direction. So I'm shocked at half the time. I remember the sequencing of flows, but it kind of gets embedded with you. So
yeah.
When it comes to direction with me, I had have a friend that our kids were little at the time, and we're driving and we're going to go to IKEA, right?
Okay.
And IKEA is in what, Canton?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah,
that
down
at,
there, no why I share.
Somewhere, yeah. It doesn't take that long to get there.
No.
Not really.
Yeah.
Well, we had to drive two cars because we all had kids. Our kids are in car seats. And
and this is pre-GPS?
Well, no, there was a GPS involved that we apparently can't follow either.
Okay.
I've gotten lost many times with the GPS. But I didn't have OnStar. I like OnStar better. But anyways... So we have this GPS and we're going and it's like, why aren't we in Canton? Like, we're just like, we've been driving for like 2 hours.
Wow.
And we just like, we'd get turned around, we'd reset the GPS. Like, this can't be that hard to get there.
Yeah.
Well, there's a couple more hours that go by. It's like, I don't even want to go to IKEA anymore.
Right.
And it's like, why is this, like, where are we? And we were at the bridge to Canada. I'm not kidding. We drove that far out of the way. So it was pretty bad. So when I go to teach my classes, like, and people say, well, how do you remember that stuff? Like, I don't know.
I think the repetition for decades, you would think it would be all right. Yeah.
Yeah. It kind of gets embedded in you. Yeah. But my sense of direction and how I can teach in a yoga studio is.
All right. So how did you get involved with like. Drug rehabilitation and alcohol rehabilitation and yoga. Like, how did that happen?
Well, that just kind of happened with the people that, you know, that were coming in. I originally, when I first started teaching, I wanted to teach in prisons.
Okay.
I just had this desire, like, could I do that?
Yeah.
Well, I ended up meeting this one guy, and I remember his name was Mike, and he was a prison guard in Standish at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was talking, like, how can I get in? He goes, you can't.
Yeah.
He goes, I can't put you in there.
Yeah.
He said, but if you teach me, I'll take it back to the prisons.
Yeah.
And I'll teach.
Right.
So he was actually one that would come to my home and then was doing the Ashtanga practice. You know, and it's not just like the Ashtanga practice or the hot. Like, we have a slow flow class that we...
Flow.
It's called slow flow.
Okay.
Doesn't mean that it's easy, but it's a great beginner's point. So people can come in and they're not going to feel like, you know, they're at boot camp. You know, it's
going to be. Because that's what the other one feels like.
Yeah. You know, but you don't beat yourself up with yoga, but you can challenge yourself.
It sounds like you get beat up. It's hot.
It's hot.
You're gassy. You're
challenged.
Stretching.
Yep.
It's so bad. People are falling asleep in the middle of it.
It's so rejuvenating. Like, you feel so good.
Yeah.
When you're done, like, you're surprised at what your body can actually do.
Really.
The physical, and then you take that time and just try to let your mind quiet down from just all of the busyness. And I think that's not just with the addiction, but anybody who's coming in, like mm-hmm. that's hard. Like nobody wants to sit and have their mind be quiet.
Yeah,
they don't like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I would love for my mind to be quiet. Mine just goes.
Yeah, it's busy. Our mind is just always busy. Yeah, and they think because, well, you're going to sit and you're going to be quiet for a little bit, like your mind is, that's when it's the busiest. But that's not true. Your mind is always busy.
Yeah.
You're just going to get to see how busy it is.
Wow.
Now, how can we just quiet some of the unnecessary?
Now, what do you mean you're going to see how busy it is?
You do, because your mind is constantly racing.
Yeah.
People don't, it's really hard to focus on being present unless you intentionally make yourself just be present. You don't have to think about your past and you're trying not to think like these are all the to-do things I have to do when I get out of here.
Yeah.
Just give yourself an hour to work on yourself.
Oh, I got you. In the moment of what you're doing.
Yeah.
See, where I'm trying to get to is, so you had people come in that were struggling with alcohol and drug addiction, and they use the yoga as a replacement for like a good habit to remove the old habit. Is that your understanding?
Well, they use it as, one, it's a physical. Two, it's a way to process your thoughts differently.
Okay. Give me an example of what you mean, process your thoughts differently.
If you're sitting, like, for example, if you're sitting in a yoga posture, any pose. So I always tell the students, there's always a way that you can adjust. Okay. You can adjust posture so that it fits. So if you got knee issues, certain postures don't work for you, there's a way that you can adjust. So yoga is always the art of adjusting.
Okay.
But life is always the art of adjusting.
Okay.
So when you go out to life, life isn't always the way we plan it. It's not on our to-do list. My life isn't the way I planned it. Things come up. You have to learn, how can I adjust in a very natural and more of a healthy way instead of, I don't have to medicate. I don't have to numb myself, because everybody numbs up.
Yeah.
Because nobody wants to feel, or they don't want to think like that.
Yeah.
So they numb it up.
Yeah. Yeah. They're looking for peace, but they settle kind of for numb, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so when you're
trying. It doesn't work.
Yeah. No, if it
doesn't
works,
work then, at all. Yeah.
And all that stuff too.
Right.
So your process of doing that, you said you moved, so from 2010 to 2021?
Yeah, so 2011, I think we moved out of we moved over to the Linden Road, and we were there until just December. We
all
ended
right,
up
so
moving.
So until 2020, end of 2020.
Yeah, because of COVID, so everything got shut down.
So end of 2021.
Yeah, and then everybody's running.
So how did you like make it through COVID? Like, how did that happen?
I taught it on Zoom.
Did you?
Yeah.
Now, is that part of your business model now? Or
no.
No, you don't like that
at
one?
All. I didn't. No. I didn't even know how to do Zoom. I never heard of it.
Yeah.
I only thought we were going to do it for a couple of weeks. That was supposed to be our initial shutdown. And then it lasted like 100 years, it seemed like.
Yeah.
So, yeah, when I was getting up on the end of my lease, I didn't want to do Zoom anymore because I needed the people to come into the studio.
Yeah.
You know, because everybody's business is just, so many of them just shut down. Mine just plummeted.
Yeah, but how did you survive, though? You survived.
Zoom, I just did. I still had, I had some people still coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And
so that core group of people that help you from the beginning, the people that help you with situation with your daughter and your grandson, and were there through all that same group of people.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. They're still there.
Really?
They're still there. And then you get the new people, and they really, really like it, and they stay. And then some people are like, don't really like it so much. Or people are like, you know what? I'm going through a divorce. I don't have the money. I have to move.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of factors that play in why people don't come back in. And then there's a lot of it. They don't come back in, and you never know why they don't come back in.
Yeah. So you go through COVID, you use Zoom like everybody did.
Right.
And you survive the process. Yeah. And so then the lease is up.
Yeah. The lease, I actually asked them, like, can I just get out of it?
Yeah.
Like, it's coming up. Just let me out.
Yeah.
And one of the girls that, she'd been coming to the studio for years, works over at Somerset Salon on Miller Road, where we're at right now. And she's like, hey, there's a space in the back.
Wait,
of
you're
Somerset.
At the salon?
I'm inside of Somerset Salon now.
Yeah. Isn't
Miller
that
Road.
The place that you can get a glass of wine and get your hair done?
Yeah.
That's the place?
Yeah. But I wouldn't suggest get a glass of wine and come
and
to yoga.
And do yoga.
So this is
especially
where,
hot yoga.
Yeah, no. Well, this is where a lot of like, I stay away from those. Like, people say, hey, do you want to do yoga and why? Like, no, I got too many people in recovery. I don't.
Yeah.
I stay away from all of that. You know, I just don't bring it in.
So if I'm to understand the process, you're working with people who are actively in addiction recovery, mm-hmm. and you're trying to give them a positive outlet mm-hmm. of a mental and physical response to something that they did negatively. So you're trying to offer a positive to input into their life instead of the negative that they had. Is that basically correct?
Correct.
And this is for anyone who's struggling with any kind of addiction?
Anything.
Really?
Or, you know, just people with, you know, people, everybody has anxiety.
Okay.
To some level.
All like, right.
And for a lot of people, they say, you know, this is my 1 hour that I can actually come in and I'm not worried about the kids. I don't have to worry about making dinner. I don't have to, like, run, like, I can just do that.
So this
one
is
thing.
An hour that you offer to people mm-hmm. to invest in themselves in something positive for them.
100%.
All right. That actually, I'm fenced.
You're sitting on the fence?
Yeah, and
that's good. I got you up there. That's good.
Yeah, that's hard for me to admit that I'm on the fence with this.
Yeah.
But okay, so real quick, you were talking about a teacher training center program that you had just finished or something. What was that?
I just finished one. I just had 5 students just finish through a teacher training program.
What is three months?
So it's a program where it's set where you got 200 hours you're going to put into. It's an intensive, you're practicing every day.
Mm-hmm.
You're going through, you're being taught anatomy. One of my teachers, Heather, she teaches the anatomy part of the program.
Okay.
I have Dr. Neelam Dutt. She's an Indian doctor, and she comes in and she teaches the science of the diaphragm. And
everything.
So it's a really great program. A lot of people come into the program, they want to do the teacher training, not so much that they have a desire to teach, but they want to learn more about the practice and how they can, you know, do more for their own practice.
And how many times a year do you do this training?
Since I've been here at Somerset, this is the second time I'm putting one together. It's going to start August 20th. It's on a Saturday.
And if someone wants to see it, they go to SamadhiYogaCenter.com and they can just sign up there?
They just call me. They can come to the studio. We can sign up over the phone.
You said it's still unlimited for $89 a month or 2 months.
Well, that's just how they start. When they're done with their 2 months, there's other packages that they have to go to. Yeah.
But startup's only 90, that's not so bad.
It's not bad.
That's like one tank of gas. $90. It's ridiculous.
Exactly.
Well, I have to tell you, Denise, I am so glad that you came on. I really look forward to people trying this out.
Thank you, inviting me.
Thank you so much for coming on. What a great story. What a fighter. I feel bad for your husband with the competition. It's all right. He's a military guy.
He'll be all right.
If you're not gone to SamadhiYogaCenter.com, our time is up. You have to check it out on the internet. Thank you for coming out to Spiritual Warfare Unit. Please check out SpiritualWarfareUnit.com. You guys have a great day. We will see you next week. You have a nonprofit in your area that's doing a lot of work that people should know about? Feel free to contact Spiritual Warfare Unit at 810-715-9319, and we would love to have them on to see what good they're doing in the community and find out their story. Thank you so much. Came